are enjoying the study as well as I am, and I've enjoyed the study, but it's also challenging as you go through trials, as we all face different trials throughout the week. Trust it's an encouragement and a help for each of us. As we begin this, we need to look back just a little bit as we begin and set the stage for what we're going to study tonight. And in Exodus chapter 13 here, at the end of the chapter, God gives some special instructions. The Israelites have escaped Egypt. God miraculously delivered them from the Egyptians. And so they are outside of Egypt. They are in the wilderness there. God has led them. In fact, he gives us specific instruction as far as how he led them. They're in verses 17 and 18. He led them a certain way. He led them through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. So it was not a mistake that they are where they are. This was part of God's plan, God knowing what is best. But look with me here, the last three verses of this chapter. Look at verse 20. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. You know, as we take a look at this, the Lord went before them and led them. What a comforting presence for the Israelites. You think about this. At any time, day or night, they could look up and they could see this cloud. Now, you know, we're used to weather changes and such. You know, the clouds come and go. This afternoon, right about 5 o'clock, seemed like the clouds rolled in near our house. Thought it might rain some. But then it cleared off a little. The sun was back out. But think about this. Throughout this time, as the Israelites were there, the cloud was always there leading them. Always there by day. And they could look up there and, hey, God is with us. The very presence of God was represented by that cloud. And at night, you say, what about when it gets dark? No problem. He provided a fire, a pillar of fire. They could look up there and be reminded of the very fact that God was with them. God was going before them. And so God provided this for the children of Israel. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, just to see the presence of God with us, just to be reminded of that regularly. This is the privilege that they had. And notice what he says here in this last verse. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. They were always there. God's constant presence with the children of Israel. So we see that there through this story. Imagine, you know, if we could see the presence of God, how that would change some things in our lives. If we saw just every minute, just look, and there he is. You know, you think about it. I know when I was a child, you think back, when I was afraid, you think of some of the fears of when you were a kid. When my dad was around, I really don't ever remember being afraid. As long as my dad was close by, I remember a few times when my mom was near that I was afraid. I do remember that, okay? But when my dad was there, I don't ever remember being afraid. Just the presence of my dad. There was a security there. There was a comfort that alleviated fear. You think about this. There were a few times, believe it or not, when I was young, I got in trouble. There were quite a few times, I'm afraid. You know, I would not have done a lot of those things if my parents were right there with me. They would have killed me, right? The presence of my parents, the difference that would make. I was thinking about driving. Remember when you were starting to drive? And, you know, guys, we like to kind of hot rod and test things out a little bit. In Indiana, we had a lot of snow. We had a 78 Nova. You think, oh, a Nova, a souped up. No, it wasn't one of those. This was very light. Rear wheel drive. You would fishtail around every curve during the winter, whether you wanted to or not. It was great for driving training. And so, you know, we had a little fun from time to time. But when my mom or dad was sitting in the seat beside me, I never did anything, well, I tried not to do stupid things driving while they were there. But you know what? Sometimes when they weren't there, I might have done some stupid things. You see, their presence made a difference in my life. Here in a school setting, it's amazing the difference the presence of a teacher makes, or the presence of a principal. It's amazing how many times I walk in a room and, oh, there's Mr. Bradford. And, you know, what's the big deal? I just walk in a room. But it's amazing the difference the presence of someone makes. And you think about this with the children of Israel, just as we set the stage here. Okay, so they had God's presence before them. Whether by day or by night, they could see, they had a constant reminder of the presence of God with them. All right, so that kind of sets the stage. But as we come to our study here this evening, okay, what is happening now? Well, jump ahead to chapter 14, as we've been looking at these last few weeks. Look with me in verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them. Notice this, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. He brought them all. And his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside after Beelzephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Okay, so as we come to this place in our study, we have to realize, okay, what is happening? Question, is the cloud still there? Yes. Is the pillar of fire still there by night? Yes, God's presence is still there. But what was the focus of the children of Israel at this point? You know, it wasn't on the cloud. They looked. They lifted up their eyes, but it wasn't up. It was off in the horizon. What did they see? They saw the Egyptians coming. Now think about this. This was the Egyptians that they just, you think about all the plagues that God had just performed on the Egyptians. You think about the Egyptians who just had their firstborn die. You think about the Israelites taking the riches of Egypt with them. They spoiled the Egyptians. They know how the Egyptians felt about them at this point. And they look up, and here come the Egyptians. And isn't it easy to say, shame on those children of Israel, but what would I be feeling about then? I mean, let's be honest. You can understand where they're coming from. When things don't go our way, when we see, I mean, they were fearing for their lives. Even though they had just seen the miracles of God, the miraculous deliverance from Egypt. And it's interesting, it says here, they cried unto the Lord. I don't necessarily think, though, it was a cry for help, because what did they do then? It wasn't the cry of faith, necessarily. I mean, they were crying for help, but I don't think it was in faith, because what did they do? They complained to Moses right away. And so this is the setting, and this is where Pastor has dealt the last few weeks. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still. Hey, wait and give God time to work, as we looked at. Great study we had there. And then the last week's study. Hey, when you're not sure what to do, just take the next logical step. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then he said, speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Lift thou thy rod. Stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. So this was the instruction. It's time for action now. But before the Israelites take action, this is where we land tonight. Before the Israelites take action, God was working. You know, God was working even though the Israelites didn't see it. And look with me here in verses 19 and 20. What was God doing? Look with me here. Chapter 14, verse 19. This is so important for us to understand. And notice this. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them. In other words, to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, to the children of Israel. So that the one came not near the other all the night. This is incredible. You say, how can this happen? Well, because of God. God is able to do this. And so what is our study tonight? It is envisioning God's enveloping presence in our lives. It's interesting, as we started the service here, just the song we sang about God's peace flowing through us. It's interesting, when Jacob prayed, he thanked the Lord for His presence and for the peace that God gives. And this is exactly what we're studying, God's presence in our lives. You know, God had given the Israelites commands, but think of the value of the presence of God here in the lives of the children of Israel. Notice what happened here in verse 19. Notice what he said here. The angel of God, which you say, is this actually an angel or is this God himself? That is a great question. If you want further study, look in Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 13. I tend to believe this was actually God himself, according to the passage there referring to this. But either way, it's representing the presence of God. But notice this. Notice verse 19. He was before them and he went behind them, and the cloud moved all of a sudden. And as we're told here, it was darkness to the Egyptians. This army that had overtaken them, they were right there. They were ready to pounce. And all of a sudden, this cloud moves, and it's darkness to the Egyptians. They were confused. They were confounded. They lost their way. They could not attack the Israelites. But at the very same time it was darkness to the Egyptians, it was a pillar of fire. It was light to the Israelites at the very same time. And this is the preparation for the crossing of the Red Sea. Now you think about this. He was light to the Israelites in the middle of this darkness. Comfort. How many times in our lives do we see this type of working of God? Where to the unsaved, where to the natural man, it may be darkness. But to believers, it is precious. It is the miraculous working of God. It is light to the believer. It's guidance, it's direction, it's protection. You think about this. I remember, just an illustration here, I remember when my wife and I were first married. Our first year, we lived in an apartment, and we saved up money to buy our first house. We were tight. I mean, some of us in our Sunday school class, we've kind of joked about this. We were really tight. We wanted to save up money for a house. We were given money for our wedding. Rather than buying furniture, we were given two lawn chairs, as a wedding gift. We used those in our living room, our first year of marriage. And it was great until we had another couple over and he sat and broke one of our lawn chairs. So anyway, we had a table, we had a bed, we had a dresser, but we were saving up money for a new house. And so after about a year, we had a decent amount of money saved. There was a realtor in our church who took us out looking at houses. So one Saturday morning, we venture out to look at houses. We looked at about 10 houses that Saturday morning. It was horrible. When we got back to our apartment, we both said we both liked our apartment far better than any house we saw that morning. And the prices were discouraging. The houses were discouraging. It's like, anyway. All right. So we were all excited about house shopping. And boy, that was a damper. Well, a week or two later, guess what? We went out again on a Saturday morning. same story. We looked at about 10 houses. It was, I mean, we walked into these houses. They were disasters, or they were in the worst neighborhood. I mean, you know, just nothing that we wanted. And they were all more than we wanted to pay. And you just look at all this. And after the 10th one, our realtor looks at us. She's like, well, there's one more. It's kind of out in the country. We could look at it, or we could stop here. And I was just ready to open my mouth. And Jan says, we'd love to look at it. And I was just ready to open my mouth and say, let's go home. I've had enough. I can't take any more. But she said, well, let me call them. And we stopped by McDonald's. I think we got a Coke just to kill some time. And then we went out to this house in the country. And lo and behold, it was the perfect house for us. It was like $20,000 cheaper than every other house we looked at. It was on an acre of land. It was a cute little Cape Cod house with a basement upstairs. It was like perfect for us. And we were so excited. We went through it, and our realtor came back later that day, and we put in an offer, but we found out someone else was putting in an offer the same day. And so we made our offer, and the next morning our realtor called, and they accepted our offer, even though the other people were offering more money. But they accepted ours because it was a little cleaner. The other people were going for, it was their second property, and so ours was a little cleaner. They ended up accepting ours. You know, an example of just God going before us. And isn't it amazing? You know what? The first week we went out, when it was miserable, was God working then? The answer is absolutely yes. He was working. He was working in my life. You know, I appreciated our house a whole lot more after that first week and after the second week, after looking at the first 20 houses we looked at. And you know what? It's just so neat to see how God worked. And God went before us. We lived in that house for about 22 and a half years. And it was such a blessing. It was hard to leave that house. It's amazing how you can get attached to a house, but it's just a house. But you know what happened? We sold the house. The Lord did a miraculous thing just in selling the house. We got more than we asked. Around here, that's common nowadays. Back in Indiana, when the market was slow, that was unheard of. And, I mean, for 2 months, we had three people look at the house. That was all. And then all of a sudden, we had two different couples who wanted the house all of a sudden, just like that. It was amazing. And we moved here. And you know what? We went back and visited the house. Just drove by the neighborhood a couple of years later. And you know what happened? We had woods behind our house. We had awesome bike trails back there. We had a third of a mile of mountain bike trails that were just ours. It was so cool. We had a gravel pit behind our house. The county came through and they ripped out all those woods and they put in these big power lines right behind the house. We would have been devastated. Or what if that would have happened right before we sold it? But you know what? That's just God's goodness. God overseeing, just like He protected the Israelites. You know, He protected our family. And it was just His goodness. And we see that over and over. God was our guide. He was our protector. He was working when we didn't even see Him working. You know what? Just like God did this for the Israelites, where it was darkness for the Egyptians, He was light for the Israelites. Isn't that a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as well? Our Savior. You think about this. He is the light of the world to those who trust in Him. But He is utter darkness to those who reject Him. They don't see their need to have Him as their personal Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 2, He is a Savior to the one. He is our cornerstone, our chief cornerstone. He is the foundation of our hope and our purpose in life. It says He is precious there in that passage. 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8. But you know what? To the other, what does it say in that passage? He is a stone of stumbling. He is a rock of offense. We understand what it means to stumble. To those who reject Jesus Christ, rather than their Savior, they're going to end up being judged. I mean, you think about this. He is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He comforts the one and he confounds the other. It talks about the foolishness of the wisdom of men, and it's foolishness to God. Hey, he confounds the wise. But it says Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God to those who know him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. But for us, you know, the Spirit of God drives us to Christ. You see, it's the same scenario. Just like God, through his presence, was darkness to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites, that's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our guard. He's our guide. He both precedes us and protects us. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He's the one who goes before and the one who goes behind, gathering up our debris, our failures, and our poor attempts at ministry, blessing us and leaving a blessing behind us for others. This is what God did for the Israelites, and this is what Jesus Christ does for us. He's a wonderful Savior. You think about this. You think about our world today. Why do they have such a problem with Jesus Christ? And yet they give freedom to different groups, Muslim groups, or freedom to different, you know, all these different groups. The hometown where I grew up, a town of about 10,000, a few years ago, they outlawed a manger on the courthouse square. In Indiana, that's a big deal. Why? Because the world hates Jesus Christ. He confounds those who reject him. They're in darkness. But he's light to those who trust in him. So, we see this. It doesn't always make sense. But look at what God tells us. As we look at this presence of God, turn over with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The Israelites were in this trial. They were in the biggest trial they had probably ever faced as they thought they were going to be destroyed. But turn over with me to Psalm 139, and David says this so well here in Psalm 139. This presence of God, the value of the presence of God. Notice with me, Psalm 139, notice what David says. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Okay, so God knows every time you sit down, every time you get up. What time did you get up this morning? Do you even remember what time you got up? Do you know what time you got up? God does. God knows exactly what time. Brian Page after spending two days on an airplane, you probably have no idea what time you got up. I don't know, maybe you do. But God knows for sure. He knows. Notice this, verse 2. Second part, Thou understandest my thought afar off. Look at verse 3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. You know, when we don't even see God going before us, He does. He goes before us. Amazing there. Verse 3. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Every word that we speak, God knows. There are no surprises. Verse 5, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. You think about that. Verse 5, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. You know, we have some Secret Service folks in our church. I think, you know, think about this. They go behind, they go before the president or the vice president or whoever they're protecting. You know, they surround them. That's what God does for us. The presence of God in our lives. You think about this. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know what? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, okay, how about this one? Surely the darkness shall cover me. Well, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. How about the presence of God? Is that awesome or what? And God's knowledge of David here. You know, we think about this. We think about the prayer requests this evening. Some of the requests. Mrs. Fannin there. You know what? God's with her. And God's with the family there. And He knows the exact need. This did not take God by surprise. We can go on behalf of the family there and pray. And God hears and He cares. What a wonderful truth. You think about the Kremers traveling. And, this is a hard situation. And just with Roger, with his health there. You know what? God is with them. God goes before us. He goes behind us. He protects us. Someday when we're in heaven, I think we'll have a whole lot more understanding of this. But for now, we just see the dashboard view. But what wonderful truths to meditate on. The presence of God in our lives. Turn over with me to one other passage. Turn over with me to Psalm 46. When I was on the way home this evening, I was preaching tonight. My wife has been overseeing a lot of the stuff with the Bible study. They have a fellowship. She's like, can we leave at 5 till 6? I'm like, okay, that's going to be pushing it. So I rushed home to try to get home early. And I was on, you know, if you go through Clifton Road and then through the woods here. And I got just down by the bridge to go into the next county. And all of a sudden traffic stopped. And nothing happened for a long time. Two-lane road. And sure enough, we just sat there for a long time. So, okay, Lord. But isn't it good? I knew what I was preaching on. And it's amazing when we're meditating on this, how it changes our thinking. Because we just sat there. And two-lane road, we didn't go anywhere for quite a while. And finally, we started inching. And what has happened? A car had, I think they had wrecked and caught on fire there. A fire truck was there. Everything was blocked, both directions. But you know what? The Lord knew that. The Lord goes before and behind. And the Lord knew the timing. The Lord knew what we needed. And we can trust Him. Look at Psalm 46 here. I read this last week as I was preparing for this. I just happened to be in this psalm in my devotions. Look at how it's in. Notice Psalm 46 in verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Hey, we don't need to fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. You think about this. In the study, just meditate on this thought here. God's presence in trial is much better than exemption from the trial. One commentator wrote, the Lord's presence is never so sweet as in moments of appalling difficulty. When you find yourself between the sword and the sea, remember that difficult times can sensitize us to God's nearness. Hey, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look what he says here. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, think of this. He says, in the midst of all this, we won't fear because God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Now think about the meditation of the psalmist here and compare that to me when I turn on the evening news. What happens when we hear the evening news? And we hear all the changes and the things that are taking place. What are we tempted to do? We're tempted to fear. But folks, let's not forget the presence of God. Has God forsaken us? No. He's right there with us. The difference the presence of God makes in our lives. Psalm 46 here. Great passages. Psalm 139. Psalm 46. Let's meditate on these passages throughout the week. So, as we look towards the end of this, wrapping this up, a few suggestions to help us practice the presence of God. Because I don't know if you're like me, it is so easy to forget. Or to get a peripheral view like the Israelites. Hey, they looked out and what did they see? They saw the Egyptians. They didn't see the presence of God there. And it's so easy for me to forget. It's easy to remember when we're preaching. It's easy to remember when we're studying for a lesson, when we're prepared. But boy, it's easy to get busy and to forget. The other day, I walked into our room with our file cabinets downstairs in the office. And I walked in there and I looked around and I'm like, why on earth did I even walk in here? What? I forgot what I was trying to remember. And I had to ask my secretary, why did I go in that room? And she told me. And so, oh yeah, that's right. I was supposed to do that. It's so easy to forget. So look with me here. A few suggestions. First of all, number one, memorize and claim scriptural truths regarding God's presence. What does God tell us about His presence? And you could probably help me out here. Hebrews 13:5. What does He tell us? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful promise to believers there. You know, God made great promises to the Israelites. He makes great promises to us. Hey, God will never leave me nor forsake me, no matter what I do. That is a wonderful truth that we can claim. Meditate on that fact. How about Psalm 34:7? I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Darlene Rose. They were missionaries during World War II. You can look it up on YouTube. It's about an hour long. It is an incredible story of just God's working. But I remember her sharing this verse, Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Psalm 34:7. What a wonderful truth about the presence of God there through His angels. So many wonderful truths. The passages we looked at, Psalm 46:1, Psalm 139. Isaiah 41:10 was a great promise to the Israelites. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We see how God upheld the Israelites, and He will uphold you and me as well. So let's meditate on the scriptural truths of God's presence. A second area, and that is this, visualize God's presence in your mind. You say, oh, that sounds kind of weird. No, not in a weird way, but in a very scriptural way, as some of the writers here visualize God's presence. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be honest, poetry is really not my thing. Like if we're in family devotions and I'm reading something, my family mocks me when I try to read a poem. Not in a bad way. They tease me, I should say. I can butcher like any poem I try to read. I am horrible at poetry. Some people can just take a pen and the words just flow and they can paint pictures with words. I can't, okay? Now you want to solve a math problem? Come talk to me, okay? Now you're speaking my language. I am very analytical. That's my type of thinking. Creative? Oh, I stink. But I can sure appreciate those who have that gift. And we see that in Scripture. Turn with me just a couple verses here quickly. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. And notice the picture that is painted for us here with the words. Deuteronomy 33. Picture the presence of God here. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. says this, the eternal God is thy refuge. So He's our refuge. He's our place of protection, our place of safety. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. So picture this. God is our refuge. Picture hiding under a refuge. God is that refuge to us. And underneath are the everlasting arms holding us up. What can happen to us when that is the case? The very presence of God. Visualize this picture with me. Turn over with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, very familiar passage here. We could quote this one together. What does it say? Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Okay, we can understand this. Although, probably the Israelites could understand this even more than we. There aren't too many shepherds here in the Washington, D.C. area, let's be honest. But we understand the role of a shepherd. He's got his staff. He's protecting the sheep. He's leading the sheep. He's watching over the sheep. This is what God is doing for us. Notice this. Notice what He does here. He says, the Lord's my shepherd. I'm not going to want. He will provide for me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Think of how He leads us. Hey, God is our shepherd, His presence. He restoreth my soul. Hey, when we're parched, He restores us. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yes, or yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, even when we're surrounded by enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see the picture here? The Lord is my shepherd. We can understand that, His presence. We visualize the picture of a shepherd. And that is God's presence to us. The Lord is my shepherd. Look at one more with me. Turn over to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Probably a passage we're not quite as familiar with. Psalm 91. And notice this. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now picture that with me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Picture a secret place where you come, you hide. Oh, get in here quickly. Hide under here. The secret place. How about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? That's a pretty good thought. I think I'd be pretty safe there. Okay, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare or the trap of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And then here's a picture of a bird. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Think of the presence of God in our lives. You know, as we close this evening, I just want us to think through this. Okay, so So we look at this, the presence of God, picturing God's presence, meditating on the truth that God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Picturing who God is and what His presence is to us. You know, may we do this from day to day. When we do this, what a change that makes as trials come. We are going to have trials this week. I'm not trying to discourage us. It's just life, right? We live in the sin-cursed earth. But we have a choice of how we're going to respond to those trials. Are we going to respond in such a way that brings glory to God? That we are looking to Him? Or are we going to fret? Are we going to complain? Are we going to worry? You know, every time we turn on the news, it's like we have reason to fret, right? Things change. In the last 24 hours, I can't tell you how many times I was asked in the last 24 hours, well, are we going to make changes regarding COVID? What are all our changes going to be for the school? I'll bet I got asked that 20 times today. You know, what's going to happen in the next week? Who knows what's going to happen? Well, God knows what's going to happen. And we can rest in Him. We can trust in Him. You know what? There are so many unknowns out there. But isn't it a comfort to know that God is with us? God was working. The Israelites, it was time for action. It was time to go forward. But before they went forward, God was already going forward. He was already working. And you know what? It doesn't always make sense to us, but God is working in our lives. What a comfort that is. And let's look to Him and walk by faith in Him here this evening. Let's close in prayer here together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how You reveal Yourself to us. We thank You for the wonderful promises in Your Word. God, I just thank You for who You are. You are our loving Heavenly Father. What a comfort that is. Lord, You've given us the Holy Spirit living inside believers. Lord, we don't understand Your working always. We don't see Your working always. But Lord, help us to have faith that when the enemies are around us, when the waves of life swell up around us, Lord, that we would rest in You. We like it. I know I like it when life is easy. But Lord, You have a purpose in allowing us to go through different trials, to grow us, to strengthen us, to conform us to Your image. And Lord, I just pray that we would look to You and we would, as Pastor has already told us, not look to just escape out of the trial, but to learn in the trial, to trust in the trial, to be used by You even in the midst of trials. That we would live for Your glory. And You would produce fruit through us. We just pray for Your supernatural working in our lives now. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for